As has been mentioned, we are standing on the threshold of a new year. The situation calls for a pause to consider the course for the future. A passage that comes to my mind as I contemplate this is found in Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24. Before we look at the latter part of that chapter, again, here's the backstory. Always important to know the context, know what's going on that's leading up to the passage we'll be looking at. Moses, you've heard of him, right? Moses, he delivered the people of God out of Egypt. He led them through the wilderness and recently passed the baton of leadership to another, a young protege. Joshua, son of Nun, is the one who receives the baton, and he begins to shoulder this great responsibility. And I'm sure that he recalls in the process that the people that he is about to lead have been difficult. That's an understatement. He's observed the struggles and difficulties that Moses had with these people, and now he's to lead these people. So before the next leg of the journey into the promised land, as he remembers how they've complained and rebelled and whined more times than you could possibly count, he calls a meeting of the people, and he reminds them of God's providence, that God has taken care of them, he's been providing for them all along, but he also reminds them of the discipline of God when they have rebelled, when they've complained and murmured when they shouldn't have. And then in verse 14 and following of the text, now with that lead up, we read of his challenge to the people in this meeting. So fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Now, it seems fitting to stop here a moment, especially if you've ever wondered or been challenged about the idea of free will. Many people think that their future is a matter of fate. What's going to happen is going to happen, that there's nothing you can do to change that. They're convinced that what's ahead of them is so set in stone that they have no choice as to their destiny. Yet I not only disagree with that strongly, I urge you to make a choice today. A choice is the potential to determine your direction, not only just for this year, but for your life. Echoing Joshua, choose today whom you'll serve. Choose today whom you'll serve. Now, it's interesting to me that Joshua says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now, how can he even say that? How can he make the decision who his household is going to serve? How can he do that? He can choose who he's going to serve, perhaps, but how is he going to decide that, well, my family too, those in my household, they're also going to serve the Lord? Don't they also have free will? Yes, they do. But as much as he has the ability to influence them and to lead them, to guide them, to instruct them, and perhaps even to, in some cases, insist upon them following the rules of the household, the rules of the household are going to be the rules of the Lord. So that's what he's saying. In my household, we're serving the Lord. And as long as anybody's living in my household, they're going to serve the Lord. They're going to do that. Now, reading on, the people declare their intention in response to what he says. Verse 16, it says, we'd never abandon the Lord to serve other gods. We wouldn't do that. You know, our ancestors did, our parents did, maybe our grandparents did, but we wouldn't do that. For the Lord our God is the one who rescued us and our ancestors from slavery in the land of Egypt. He performed mighty miracles before our very eyes. As we traveled through the wilderness among our enemies, he preserved us. It was the Lord who drove out the Amorites and the other nations living in the land there. So we too will serve the Lord, for he alone is our God. Now that sounds good. Sounds like they're making the right decision. They say they are resolved to make serving God their priority. Right? That's what we're going to do. But Joshua, well, he has his doubts about them. For in verse 19, he warns them, "You're not able to serve the Lord, for he is holy and he's jealous. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you abandon the Lord and serve other gods, he will turn against you and destroy you, even though he has been so good to you." Now you hear that? Joshua says they can't keep their resolution. Now, why would he say that? Why in the world would he say that? Well, their track record, again, contains a long history of failure to do that. Their follow-through has fallen through so many times before, it's ridiculous. Now, maybe you've known of people whose follow-through has fallen through. Maybe you've been a person whose follow-through has fallen through many times. This issue isn't about a diet or exercise program. It's not a decision to start a new discipline, to read more or be more time conscious. This is about a choice that will affect every other choice they'd ever make. And take note that the voice bringing up their failures was God's chosen spokesperson. He's reminding them of their failures. Does that seem fair? Will they trust in God or not? Will they trust God or not? Will they honor God or not? Listen carefully. Joshua told them that refusing to do so would not go well for them. It wouldn't go well for them if they refused to choose to serve the Lord. The Lord would no longer provide for them or protect them, though he'd done that even in their rebellious state before. Even worse, he says, they would forfeit access to God's forgiveness and grace. Is that serious business? Wow. Now, listen, deep down, they had to know that what Joshua was saying was true. They had not been faithful. Oh, they said, "Oh, maybe our forefathers weren't, but we weren't." No, they weren't either. They'd been wishy-washy in their worship. I don't know how you'd sign that, D. Okay. Inconsistent in their convictions. But here they are now being confronted about what they're going to do then. Then and there. And in the days that were to come. They're reminded again of their failures, but they're saying, "Okay, but what are you going to do now? What are you going to do now?" Well, if they want to see success, if they want to have God's continued protection, provision, what else can they do but serve the Lord? To who else can they turn for that protection, provision? So the people answer Joshua when he says, no, you can't do this. He said, "Oh, yeah, we can't. No, we will serve the Lord," in verse 21. But Joshua warns them again not to make such a rash oath, to really think about what they're saying. He says, "You are a witness to your own decision that you've chosen to serve the Lord." Pardon me? He said, "Listen to what you're saying and recognize I hear what you're saying, but more importantly, someone else hears what you're saying. The God of heaven. He hears what you're saying." Seems pretty straightforward, doesn't it? Promises are not ever to be made lightly. How many of you know that? Every vow needs to be kept. Everyone. And a pledge to God or made in his name better be taken very seriously. There was a time in our nation when that was pretty much a given. It's why witnesses were asked to place their hands on a Bible and swear to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Truth, so help me God. Perjury is a crime. Did you know that? Lying to God? It's more than a crime. Deuteronomy 23:21 says this: when you make a vow to the Lord, your God, be prompt in fulfilling whatever God promised, and you promised to him. For the Lord your God demands that you promptly fulfill all your vows, or you will be guilty of sin. Now, see, it doesn't say it's a crime. It's not a legal matter. It's an offense to our Father in heaven. It's a sin against him. It's a breach of promise against him. And notice the idea in this text of promptness. Promptness. No procrastination. Anybody ever have a problem with procrastination? No delaying. No putting off till tomorrow what we promised today. Anyone ever have trouble with that? See, it displeases God if we do those things. He says to keep kicking the can down the road rather than fulfilling a promise is a sin. A sin. What's that word mean? It's more than you're missing the mark. You're not living up to what you said you would. Again, it's a transgression. It's an offense. It's a violation against God. And serious business. So, that was then. And that was them, right? What does that have to do with us? Now, before we leave today, we need to take inventory of our own relationship with God. Each one of us needs to do that. Are we serving him? Now, the question to ask yourself is more like this, and for me, am I serving him? Am I serving him? Now, if there were a lot of younger folks in here, they might be saying, well, yeah, I am because my parents make me. Yeah, I'm go to church because mom and dad drag me, or they tell me I have to. That's part of them saying, my household is going to serve the Lord. Parents doing that. But again, we need to ask ourselves, really, am I serving God? Am I making that decision? Am I making that choice? Am I doing that? Or am I serving myself? Is it really about just serving myself? Or am I trying to ride the fence, ready to come down on one side or the other, depending on which way the wind blows? You know, there are those who do that. That's really what the Israelite community had done for a long time. They would serve God as long as it pleased them and it was going well for them and that everything looked bright and sunny and good. But when it was going against the grain a bit, no. Then they would choose to serve themselves. We don't have that kind of an issue or problem today, do we? Where things sometimes don't go the way we want them to, or God's calling us to do something that's not fun. Or not necessarily what we would choose to do if it weren't for we want to choose to serve him. What about from here on out? It's important to look at our track record, but what about from here on out? The choice we make about serving God will affect all of our choices, not only in the new year, but the rest of our lives. Will we trust in God or not? Will we honor him or not? Will we do as Jesus urges us to do in Matthew 6:33, to seek his kingdom and his righteousness first and foremost? If we don't, it won't go well for us either. But if we do, his providence and protection are promised. Jesus says that. He says we'll have all that we need if we'll seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. Make that our priority. Now, if we've made that choice, and I'm tempted to ask for a show of hands, but I'm not going to, okay? Just, again, in your own heart. If you've made that choice to serve the Lord, you truly have, and have been trying to fulfill that. You've been honest in your declaration to do that, in your follow-through. You have been doing your best to follow through with that. But you find yourself still falling short time and time again. What now? Maybe we've heard some voices that sound a bit like the one people in our text heard. Your choice to change the way you live won't last. You make the same resolutions year after year, saying every year that'll be different this year. Who are you kidding? You can't change. Isn't that what Joshua was telling you? You can't do this. Now, if that doesn't make us feel like losers hearing that, I don't know what will. And when we believe ourselves to be defeated before we start, well, why even bother to try? And a lot of people have got to that point. The resolution they're making is not to make any more resolutions. They're resolved not to be resolved in anything because they're destined to fail, they feel. Yeah, hear me again. If we have chosen to put God first, the words of discouragement aren't likely coming from him, but from the enemy, the accuser, Satan, whose goal is to remind us of our past and to cripple us from moving forward. On the other hand, the voice of truth brings up the past only to remind us of God's faithfulness, even when we haven't been all that faithful. That's what the voice of truth does today. He's been faithful, even when if we haven't been. Then the voice of truth would urge us to forget about our past failures and set our sights on success. Consider the Apostle Paul's words in Philippians 3, 12 through 16. He says, after confessing that he'd wasted a whole lot of time placing his trust in the wrong things, relying upon his own strength to achieve personal righteousness, he says this to believers in Philippi. Verse 12. Not that I've already obtained all I want to, and the idea is for God, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. We're going to pause there a minute. That's very important to hear. Paul believed that Christ had a plan and a purpose for him. For success. For success in the kingdom. He believed that. And so he was wanting to take possession of all that God had in store for him. He wanted to do that. Verse 13, brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of all of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress we've already made. The phrase comes to my mind right now, that, you know, that idea of taking two steps forward, three steps back. Anybody ever been there? And you feel like, I'm losing ground here. Paul is saying, don't give up if that happens to you. Press on. Forget about the failure and keep your eyes on the prize. Keep moving towards the goal. Not your personal goal, God's personal goal for you. Hold on to the progress you've made. Okay, so maybe I went three steps forward, you know, two steps back. Well, at least I made a step. And more often than not, that's where we are. Maybe we didn't quite reach our goal, but we moved in the right direction, and we're still headed in the right direction. Keep doing that. Paul's saying, forget about the failure. Keep your eyes on the prize. Having said this, I believe the Lord would also remind us that without his help, we aren't able to serve him as we should any more than the Israelites were. We are not able to serve the Lord as he calls for us to, as he desires for us to, without his help. We're not. In our own strength, we don't have the ability to keep our vows to him or to anyone else, for that matter. Not consistently. Not continually. We need divine resolve. Not just a resolution that we make within ourselves, our own personal, goal, but a resolve that comes from him. David, the man after God's own heart, realized that when he asked God in Psalm 51:10 to give him a pure heart and a steadfast spirit. Not just a pure heart, a heart that's clean, a heart with the right motives, a heart that again, is really loving and kind and desiring the things that you desire, but a steadfast spirit. What is that? How many of you sometimes feel like you lack the wherewithal to do it all? Well, guess where we can find that strength? Guess where we can find that resolve? Guess where we can find that will, that ability, that steadfastness, that to keep on going and moving in the right direction, even when there are hurdles, even when there are setbacks, even that we have that steadfast spirit, that we don't quit. We don't give up. One of the greatest resolves we can have today in this new year is I'm not going to quit. I will not quit. I will not quit. The Lord has never quit on us. We need to have the resolve we won't quit on him. But even then, we need his strength. His strength to help us. And aren't you so thankful for the grace and the mercy that's there for us day after day after day when we do fall short? We need the continued desire to do what pleases God, but we also need the consistency to flesh it out, to really live it out. Choose this day who we're going to serve. We do have a choice. I think I'm talking to the choir a lot here because I know so many of you have chosen to serve him. You have chosen again to serve him diligently, been doing it for years, and trying again to teach your household, your kids, your grandkids to do the same thing. You've been doing that. Praise God. But Jesus once said, pick up your cross daily. There's a daily decision, not just a yearly decision. A daily decision to say, I'm going to serve God today. I'm going to serve him today. And in so doing, I have this assurance, I will reach my goal. Because my goal will be his goal for me. And he will fulfill his purposes. Just got to trust. So it's good advice. More than that, it's godly counsel for us to choose. Anytime we come to a crossroads, come to a threshold, come to a place in our life where, wow, there's decisions before us, we need to be resolved who we're going to serve, him or self. In serving self, we're going to be going around in circles a long time in that wilderness, folks. Just like the children of God had before. But choosing and being resolved to follow him and serve him, he will lead us to glory.